At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people of Bustam, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is officially on. We are now just 2 days away from the start of the college football regular season. It's go time. And I figured that today would be a good day to start to share some of our college football future win total best bets, as we are now just 2 days away from the start of the season. And I did have a couple of teams on the board, on my card, that are playing on Saturday as far as win totals are concerned. But I've decided that they don't meet the criteria of being the absolutely, positively best possible future bets. And that's what we're looking for here. That's what we're trying to share with you. Now, listen, I'm going to do videos, or we're going to post this stuff, but some of you, and I know there's a minority out there still, people that actually care about the reasons why you're supposed to bet something. We live in an era right now where people just fire off 50 bets a day. They have the attention span less of a goldfish, literally and figuratively. Nobody really wants to learn anything. They just, you know, what's the play? What's the play? What's the play? So on today's show, we're going to sort of dive in into like why we're betting on these teams and why these are such good bets. And I found it frustrating, actually, as college football season approaches, and to find material that actually I find like worthy, right? I mean, you know, X is just a cesspool of contamination. Political crap, garbage, propaganda, bots, and, you know, the rest is a bunch of handicappers telling you how great they are, right? They never tell you, like, why you should take something, why they took something. Just, this is what they're taking. And this is the world that we live in right now. And I find it, you know, it's frustrating. Even, like, you know, for, like, sports articles and even, like, real news articles and stuff, it's hard to get good information in today's day and age. Now, I'm not saying it's not out there, because there's a lot of smart people in this world still, but it's getting harder and harder. So I guess I'll have to do it myself. I guess that's, you know, I guess I'll have to do it myself, like a lot of things. So we're going to do this thing ourselves. And so let's get started here. And one thing I'll say, so, you know, the Kansas Jayhawks, good example. I think this Kansas team is going to be better this year. I like Jalen Daniels at quarterback. I like the fact that they're back on their campus in their own stadium. They were playing in Arrowhead for the last couple of years, and it really does make a big difference. You're not a pro team. You're a college football team. You need the atmosphere and the environment of what the college kids and the students bring and what the campus brings. So I like this Kansas team, but their schedule is pretty difficult. And their win total basically is okay. Are they going to win 7 games? Probably. Yeah, probably they do. But do I want to have to stress it out every week in a difficult Big 12? No, I don't. I could just bet on them. So Hawaii was another one, right? I like this Hawaii team. You know, everybody likes Hawaii. We've all got a soft spot in our heart for Hawaii. And, you know, we've got our boy Jeff Reinbold, connections to the team. We've talked a lot about the Bows over the years, the rebuilt Bows right now. So we're pulling for the Bows, but their win total is 5.5. And I had Hawaii on my list of teams. I was like, yeah, Hawaii's going to make a bowl game this year. Their schedule is manageable enough to get there. But truth be told, their win total is almost predicated on them beating Stanford on Saturday. And truth be told, I'm not so sure they're going to beat the Stanford Cardinal on Saturday night. Right. And this is why I actually read an interesting piece the other day about whether sleeping on something actually works. You know, like people have a major decision in their life, business decision, personal decision, health, whatever, life decision. And, you know, I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to think about it. And it's a cliche. There's a lot of cliches that aren't really true. But I actually had like read a real study, like, you know, it was Stanford and Oxford, whatever. It's like big time schools. Study about sleeping on things, and it actually does make a difference. Evidently, our brains, when we're asleep, our brains never really sleep. Like our body, we might go to sleep, but our brains are always thinking, and our brains are thinking about the problems that we have even when we're asleep. So, long story short, the study showed that. Yes, sleeping while you're sleeping, like on an issue, will help clarify things. And also fatigue, right, is a big factor. And this is, you know, this, I think this is as real as we can get here as far as like useful information. And I remember I was talking to Phil Hellmuth, the poker player. And I'm not the biggest poker, like everybody knows. Like I don't even play poker. I think most of the poker world are a bunch of scumbags. But with that being stated, and I don't know Phil Hellmuth personally. I don't know if he's a great guy or whether he's a jerk or not, but I was on the air with him before and he was struggling and, you know, he was struggling with his poker game for a while. And then he got hot again. And, you know, I asked him, all right, why are you getting hot again? What's been the difference as of late? And he basically said that he sleeps more, that he was playing too much. Right, that he was playing so much and he was always trying to be like, oh, you know, I'm not tired. Let's go on. And he said that he was tired and it affected his decisions. And I don't think people think about that enough. So a good example is like, I break down a lot of this stuff in the overnight hours, right? Like, you know, I do research. I'm getting ready for shows during the day and the games and, you know, for that night. But a lot of times when it comes to futures, like throughout this all summer, basically, you know, like 1 a.m. type of deal, I'm breaking it down. I'm going through college football win totals like all summer long because there's so many damn teams. And you might think something's great at like 4 a.m, right? But do you think it's great a week later at 4 p.m, right? Like there's, you know, the mind works like differently at different times of the day. I've told people this before in the past. The U.S. military did a study. They did war games, and it was drunk troops. So they got a bunch of troops drunk, and they had a bunch of troops who were sleep deprived, and they went head to head, and the drunk troops beat the sleep deprived troops. So, like, even when people were drunk, they were making better decisions than people that were sleep deprived, right? And I think it was, like, they slept 3 hours and 24. It was, like, a 21-hour run type of deal or whatnot, right? Like, it wasn't even that extreme, but the whole point of the military drill and test and operation was to prove to the troops and to prove to everybody, basically, to themselves, just how critical fresh thinking is. And I think that this comes into play in the betting world. We don't think about it. I'm getting pretty philosophical here, but we don't think about that stuff. But I think that I know for myself, it's massive. Because as I stated, I might think something's a great idea at 3 a.m. and I might think this team is a great bet. And then the next day I'm like, hey, you know what? Their schedule is a lot harder than I realized. Or, you know, it was a train of thought, public suggestion. That's another thing that we all fall for, right? You know, like why people, humans copy each other. Just like if you see somebody doing something, people will do it, right? I saw something about like somebody like yawning. Why do you yawn when somebody else is yawning? You're not tired. You see somebody else yawn, you yawn. it's like an inherent like reaction that we have as humans to like see something and think that that's the way to do it. So
shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
You know, I don't think we think enough about this stuff when it comes to sports betting, where if you hear me and you hear people on our show and you hear people on shows all week tell you how bad a coach is or how bad a team is, there's a lot of like low-hanging narratives out there that aren't even true, right? That, he's terrible. Right. Oh, Doc Rivers blows 3-1 series leads. Yeah, Doc Rivers has been in like a million playoff series. And he's also won championships before. Right. The whole certain coaches suck when they don't. Like, there's public narratives and it's easy to get caught up in it. Right. Public mass suggestion, public thinking. And it's easy as well. When you hear about a team, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. Or they're going to be bad. They're going to be bad. And then you sort of, you know, subconsciously sort of believe it. Right. So you really got to clarify things and sort of shut all the outside, you know, the outside noise out when it comes to life and personal decisions that you're making, business decisions and sports betting decisions, right? You know, put the work in yourself, listen to other people, but don't follow other people, so to speak. Like, I'm going to tell you these plays. I'm going to give you a wealth of information about them. And you can say, you know what, that's really good information that I agree with. Or you can say, that's really good information, but I don't agree with it. I don't think it's going to win because of this. So let's get started right now with a football team that we've been talking about quite a bit, actually, over the last couple of weeks. And anyone follows me on X at Sports Rage, obviously, as you know, if you're tuning into the show, that we've been posting about them. We've been talking about them. We've been following their camp getting ready for the start of the season, and that is the Missouri Tigers. So we already put the bet in, Missouri Tigers over 6.5 wins. It is -165, so you have to lay a price. But we just have to go 7-5 in a very difficult SEC, yes. But there's nothing not really to like about this Missouri team this year, with the exception, I guess you could argue, about the quarterback situation right now. Everybody thought Bo Prabhula coming in from Penn State. So if you guys remember last year, Penn State have a stud quarterback already, right? So Bo Prabhula was their backup. He played a bit. He's good, you know, with his legs. He's a mobile guy, big kid. And he left like right before the playoffs, which was like a weird time to leave. So long story short, he ended up in Missouri, except he hasn't like run away with the starting job in Missouri. Sam Horn has looked very good in camp as well. So you can say that, listen, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a good one quarterback. I don't really think that's the case here. I think, you know, Coach Drinkwitz said, you know, they're both going to play against Central Arkansas and we'll let this sort of sort itself out on its own. And this isn't pro football. If this is pro football, then you got a problem. In college, you know, there's multiple quarterbacks on the team. They have different skill sets. And, you know, let's see how it plays out on the field. And eventually, a couple of weeks in, they'll get more comfortable with one guy over another. But, you know, I don't really have a problem with it. Missouri, you know, people think of Missouri being a flashy team, but Missouri like to run the ball. Missouri are very good defensively. So I'm not going to say it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, but I think the quarterback play will be good enough for this football team to win. And, you know, when I talk about the quarterback position, that's just one position, and they're both good, right? They're both studs. So, you know, the quarterback position is going to be fine, but we should know they have 13 returning starters on defense. All right, 13 returning starters on the defensive side of the ball. The schedule is just tailor-made for a big year this year. They don't play the Georgia Bulldogs. They don't play the Texas Longhorns. They don't play the LSU Tigers. Now, with the exception of Alabama, those are the best teams in the SEC, right? Georgia, perennial national championship contenders. People aren't talking about them as much this year coming into the year, but they're still Georgia. They're not quite as good as they were like 3 years ago, 4 years ago era, but they're still damn good, and they're still as good as anybody. The Texas Longhorns are favored to win a national championship. The LSU Tigers, nobody likes Brian Kelly, but they are stacked, and I actually think LSU could get into the playoffs this year if they can come up with a stop or two. So if you're the Missouri Tigers, they're pretty good teams not to be playing. So you don't play Georgia, you don't play Texas, you don't play LSU, you don't play the Tennessee Volunteers. The Missouri Tigers' first road game of the year this year, guys. So let me put this in context. Their first road game of the year is October the 18th. Think about that. Like, we're going to be into like week 7 or something of the National Football League before the Missouri Tigers have played a road game. All right, so now you start to understand why I like this team a lot in their win total this year. So as I stated, they don't play Georgia, they don't play Texas, they don't play LSU, they don't play Tennessee. Their non-conference schedule, all right, so who do they play, Coach? Their non-conference schedule, Central Arkansas, Louisiana, Kansas, UMass. So Kansas is a real game out of those games. The other three are cupcake walk in the parks for Missouri. Yeah, whatever. Cupcake, strong word, but they're going to win the games. So Kansas, that's a toss up game. Kansas, like I said, I think I respect the Kansas Jayhawks. Missouri are better though, but I respect Kansas. So that's their non conference schedule: Central Arkansas, Louisiana, Kansas, and UMass. They do play the South Carolina Gamecocks, who I don't think will be as good this year as they were last year. They do play Texas A&M, who I do think are going to be very good. And they do play Alabama, who will be very good. So they do play three. They are in the SEC. They got to play somebody, right? So they'll play somebody. But all three of those games are at home. The South Carolina game is in Missouri. The Texas A&M game is in Missouri. The Alabama game is in Missouri. So, you know, there's really nothing. This is like probably the most bettable schedule in the country, actually. When you consider the teams that they don't play in the SEC, when you consider their non-conference schedule, and then when you consider their toughest SEC games are all at home. And we only got to get to 7. We can lose 5 games and win this bet. Now, I don't think they're going to lose 5 games. I don't think they're going to lose 4 games. I don't think they're going to lose, like, do they lose 3? Maybe. I mean, this team has won double-digit games back-to-back years, 11 and 10, 21. So this team wins football games. They're kind of flying under the radar. If everything falls into place and they get really good quarterback play, this team's going to the playoffs due to their schedule. They're going to the playoffs. They're an SEC team that could end up being 10 and 2. If you're 10 and 2 and you're in the SEC, you're going to the playoffs. And if they make it to the conference championship game, right, they don't even need to win, and they're in the playoffs. You can get the Missouri Tigers at plus 700 to make the playoffs. Now, we're going to put a little play on the Tigers to make the playoffs just because this schedule just screams 10 wins to me, but we don't need 10. We need 7 for the bet. So the Missouri Tigers over 6.5 wins minus 165. We've already locked it down, and I don't want to say it's the best one, but to me, like, I'm having a hard time. This is, like, out of all my college futures, this is the one I sort of keep coming back to. Missouri, 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 Missouri. Love the schedule, and I love the fact they got 13 starters back on the defensive side of the ball. People handicap the offense and the quarterbacks too much, similar to starting pitching. But Missouri are just a deep football team. Drinkwitz has done a great job with this Missouri program in the SEC. We've seen some teams go to the SEC and struggle. Missouri has really started to figure this thing out. All right, so let's go from the SEC to a wide open Big 12. And the team I want to talk about and the team I want to bet on, the Baylor Bears. Baylor's win total is 7.5, so we got to get to 8. Another very manageable number. I don't mind this. We go 8-4, we win our bet, right? We're not asking you to win the national championship. We're not asking you to go 11-1. No, we're asking you to go 8-4. And this is a Baylor football team that really is flying under the radar in the national media, and they're flying under the radar even in sort of amongst the Big 12 crew. Now, it should be noted that Phil Steele picked Baylor to win the Big 12. And Phil Steele, to me, one of the most respected and trustworthy opinions in college football. So I just should, you know, like a lot of the media and the public aren't talking about Baylor. But for the record, Phil Steele did pick Baylor to win the Big 12. And if you look at his Baylor football team, they won 6 games in a row to end the regular season last year. All right, let me repeat that. 6 games in a row to end the regular season last year. Very impressive. They did lose their bowl game, but it was a competitive game, and it was against the LSU Tigers. What, 41-34? No shame. No shame whatsoever. Right? Baylor ended strong.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
You know, it's easy to forget, but this Baylor team was, you know, one of the elite programs in the country. They didn't sustain it, but they have shown flashes where they pop up and they are, you know, an elite program. And we know with Coach Aranda, we know he's a good coach. They had a crazy bad run where they went 3-17. And people were thinking, man, maybe we're going to have to fire this guy. The program's going in the wrong direction. They went 3-17 against FBS teams. But then, boom, they rattle off the 6 in a row. They play well in the bowl game. 4 returning starters on the offensive line. You got your quarterback back. This is the kid that nobody talks about. Sawyer Robertson, the quarterback for the Baylor Bears. I think he's ready for big things this year. Last year, he threw for 28 touchdowns. Over 3,000 yards. And people just don't talk about this, dude. Their defense is not bad, better than average by Big 12 standards because of Dave Aranda. The schedule isn't easy. This isn't like a Missouri schedule, but it's one of these deals where almost like not all of their games, because they have some, you know, they sort of have a couple of slam dunks, but a lot of Baylor games are toss-ups. Or it's like, yeah, that's a tough one, but they can win it. Yeah, that's a tough one, but they can win it. So the fact is, though, we can lose 4 of these toss-up games, and I don't think they're going to. At Baylor, I think, are another, like, sleeper to make the playoffs. Like, if Baylor wins the Big 12, they're going to the playoffs, right? So, and I think they're going to be right in the mix. The problem is the Big 12 is damn good, right? There's a lot of teams in the Big 12 that could win the Big 12 this year. Very competitive conference I'm expecting this year. But they host Auburn to open the season. Big time football game. That's like next Friday night, actually. It's a Friday night game. Super cool game. Baylor and Auburn. They go to SMU in week 2. So Baylor's schedule starts off difficult. Like, they're getting thrown right into it. But I think they can get a split out of those two, and then they can start to rack up some wins as we go on. And as I stated, so they host the Auburn Tigers Friday night. It's like a game. It's like a 2-point spread in the game, but basically a pick 'em. So Auburn at Baylor, and Auburn are supposed to be better and expected to be better this year. Then they go to SMU. So that's a tough, like, wow. That's not an easy, like, you know, first 2 games of the season. But then they host Samford. Then they host Arizona State. Then they go to Oklahoma State. Then they host Kansas State. Then they go to TCU. Baylor at Cincinnati. UCF at Baylor. Utah at Baylor. Baylor at Arizona. Houston at Baylor. So you see what I'm saying? There's not like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're definitely going to win that game. But there's all these sort of just sort of toss-up games. And I think this Baylor team, when it's all said and done, I'm not ready to say that they're going to win the Big 12 like Phil Steele is. But I do think they're going to be in the mix. And I think this Baylor team wins 9 games. I think they're good enough to be like a 9-3 team. And I think potentially maybe 8-4, but both of which gets us there. Like, I'll share a little bit of my strategy. Like, when I'm betting these totals, I don't want to have to win by one game, right? I don't have to say, yeah, you know what? I think they can get to 8. If everything falls into place, they get to 8. I have to think, no, they can win. Not like I need a little bit of a cushion. Not like Missouri. I'm like, man, Missouri can win 10, you know, let alone 7. They can win 10 of these. I look at Baylor here. I'm thinking more. Yeah, they'll win. I think they can win 8 of these. And if they're as good as people think they are, then they win 10 of them. Good for them. Then we win our bet. Let's go Baylor. Baylor Bears over 7.5 minus 105. All right, let's talk about a football team that I don't especially like talking about very much, unless I'm talking about them sucking, and that's the defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. So I say this as a Michigan Wolverine fan that, you know, obviously knows the Ohio State program very, very well, being the rivals that we are. So I tip my cap to them. They won the national championship, and even though I don't like them, it's a good look for the Big Ten that the Big Ten has now won 2 national championships in a row. You're only as good as your rivals are too, right? So that's the whole thing. Do you want your rival, you want your enemy to be a bum, right? Because what does that make you? Just makes you a bum ass as well. So, but as far as Ohio State are concerned, they're an interesting team to me this year. When you look at them, they lost a ton of pieces of their national championship team. But at the same point in time, they have the best safety in the country. They have one of the best defensive players in the country and the best safety in the country in Caleb Downs. I'm not going to dispute that. You could argue, and I don't think there's much of an argument, that Jeremiah Smith is the best wide receiver in the country. So when, you know, we're starting off here with Ohio State, it's like, well, all right, they have like the best safety in the country. They have the best wide receiver in the country. Julian Sain has been named the starting quarterback. He was one of the top recruits in the country, but hasn't played in a couple of years, transferred over from Alabama. So you look at this Ohio State team, and we know they recruit well, obviously. They don't, you know, they don't rebuild, they reload. We're aware of this. But they lost some like leadership on the team. Like, say what you will about Will Howard. He's not, you know, a stat type of quarterback, but the kid had played a lot of college football games. He was experienced. You're going from a very experienced quarterback to an inexperienced quarterback. Trevion Henderson is killing people in the NFL right now, right? Trevion Henderson isn't there anymore. Junkins isn't there anymore. So, like, they lose, and, you know, Junkins was the stud they brought in from Ole Miss in the backfield. They paired him with Trevion Henderson. So you add an elite backfield with these two studs that are in the NFL now. You have a quarterback, a veteran quarterback that's not there anymore. You got the Sawyer dude, right? And, you know, you've got all these dudes on defense, just sort of like leader type of guys that aren't there anymore for Ohio State. So I don't think they're quite the same team. They're kind of like Georgia. Yeah, they're still Georgia, but they're not the Georgia from 2 years ago, Georgia type of deal. I think that's what when I see Ohio State, that's what I think this year. Now, their win total is 10.5. I love betting the unders when it comes to 10.5, guys, because 10.5 gives the team a window of losing one game. They need to go 11-1 to beat us. So they lead, you know, basically we're betting under 10.5. We need Ohio State to lose 2 games in a regular season this year. Normally, Ohio State plays a pretty cream puff cupcake non-conference schedule. they've kind of been shamed into it because everybody else in the SEC, for the most part, in the Big Ten, like, they're playing each other. And so they couldn't duck it and hide it forever. So they are playing the Texas Longhorns. Like, Michigan played Texas last year and lost in Ann Arbor. So the first game of the year is Texas at Ohio State. It's interesting. This game, guys, the first time ever that the number one ranked team in the country, the preseason number one ranked team in the country, and that's the Texas Longhorns, are underdogs in their first game of the year. First time ever that the number one ranked team in the country is an underdog in week one, as Texas are the number one ranked team in the country, and they're small underdogs to the Ohio State Buckeyes. The game is a home game for Ohio State, obviously, in Columbus. A lot of people think Texas are unbeatable and they're going to the championship and Arch Manning is the greatest thing ever since Peyton Manning and he's going to win the Heisman. I think people might be overdoing it with the Texas Longhorns, but this is a revenge spot. This is a rematch of last year's playoff game in which, if you recall, Texas were right there. Like, Texas were on the verge of potentially tying that football game, and they had a really bad, weird couple of bad play calls inside the 7-yard line. So this is a revenge spot. They're not the same teams. Quinn Ewers, you know what I mean, not there, obviously, with the Dolphins now. So it's like, which team is still as good as they were last year? I don't really know, like, the revenge factor, whatever. These kids want to win every game. You know, they're big-time players. They're playing big-time teams. But it is a revenge factor for the Texas Longhorns and Sarkisian, even though it is in Columbus. I lean Texas in this game. So, and if Texas can knock them off, I'm going to feel pretty good about Ohio State losing another game down the road. So they open up the season versus Texas. They go to Seattle in like week five to play the Washington Huskies. Now, Ohio State will be favored, and Ohio State are still better than the Washington Huskies are, but the Washington Huskies are going to be much better this year. They were decent last year in Fish's first year, but they're going to get better. Damon Williams is a studded quarterback, and Seattle is, and that stadium literally is one of the hardest places to play in college football. You know, we could talk about Death Valley and Happy Valley and stuff like that, and they do, and people, like, you know, teams and, you know, sports in the Pacific Northwest sort of gets buried by the mainstream media, but anybody that's played, anybody that knows, hell, there was a dude, it was Cam Ward. Yeah, Cam Ward was talking about SEC crowds last year. And he said, man, people think, oh, the SEC this and the SEC that. He says the toughest building I ever played in was at Washington against the Washington Huskies. And I actually heard another player recently, they were talking about noise and, you know, the loudest noise games they've been in. And same thing. The player said, you know what? I was in the Pac-12 and Washington. We know about the Seattle Seahawks. Like, they're nut jobs. And the Husky games are the same. So the Huskies are going to be good. They're good enough to beat Ohio State. Not in Columbus, but in Seattle they are. Everything falls into place. Turn over here, turn over there. So Ohio State host Texas week one, go to play the Washington Huskies in week five, and then 2 weeks later they go to Illinois. Illinois are supposed to be really good this year. Now, I think people might be getting a little bit overly excited about the alumni because their schedule is really hard, but they are good. And that's going to be a tough place to play for them. So, you know, going to Seattle week five, bouncing around the country, then week seven, Illinois, then they host Penn State on November the 1st. I would prefer if this game was at Penn State. Can Franklin beat Ryan Day? It's almost like Ryan Day can't beat Michigan. Penn State can't beat Ohio State. Penn State are one of the favorites to win the national championship this year. So they host Penn State on November the 1st, and then they go to Michigan to end the season. And we know about Michigan. Michigan have beaten them four straight times, right? So to me, all right, lose the Texas game, and then I'm just hoping for a loss throughout the year. If they lose the Texas game and they don't lose throughout the year, then it's like, all right, I need Michigan to beat them in the last game of the year to win this bet at under 10.5. But I think they're going to stumble. I think they're going to stumble along the way. I think Ohio State will stumble at Washington. Maybe Penn State and finally knocks them off. Maybe they get upset by Illinois. Like I said, there's enough games here. They got five tough games. I only need them to lose two of them. Right? Texas, a tough game. Michigan's a tough game. Washington's a tough game. Illinois's a tough game. Penn State's a tough game. And now let's isolate the tough games into, okay, Washington and Illinois aren't the same as Texas, Michigan, and Penn State. So in other words, and so I got two cracks at it on the road, Washington and Illinois. I got a crack at them with Texas at Columbus. I got a crack at them with Penn State. And I got one last stand with my Michigan Wolverines to end the year. I kind of honestly, if I'm being brutally honest, I kind of get the feeling, it maybe it's wishful thinking, but I kind of get the feeling that Ohio State goes into the Michigan game with a 9-2 record and no better than 10-1. So I think that's the worst case scenario, that it's like, oh man, all right, we need Michigan to win the game. And let's keep it in the Big Ten right now, and let's keep it with an under 10.5. So we're going to go with the Ohio State Buckeyes, under 10.5 wins, -130. Let's talk about the Oregon Ducks right now. Another under 10.5. So the Oregon Ducks, 10.5, -140. Listen, Dan Lanning has done an awesome job. He's one of the best coaches in the country. The Ducks have gone 25-3 over the last two seasons. You can't argue with that type of success. They really are one of the top programs in the country. But he's had a hard time, you know, when he gets to the finish line. And it's kind of similar to Ohio State, a little bit different scenario, but the quarterback situation with the Ducks and Eugene right now is a lot different. He had Bo Nix before. Bo Nix had started like 50-plus games, man, like by the time he got there, basically. Like, Bo Nix was extremely experienced quarterback, and Bo Nix is also someone who was a big-time recruit who has gotten better over the years. Like, he was a big-time recruit, and people thought he was a bust, and we saw that he's clearly not a bust, and he's thriving in the NFL right now. But Bo Nix got better as he got older. Then they brought in Dillon Gabriel, another player that had been around college football forever. Right? So two very experienced elite quarterbacks. Dante Moore is the quarterback now. Dante Moore, big-time recruit. Big-time, like, you know, about 3 years ago. Like, there's so many of these kids that come and go. But Dante Moore was a big deal when he came out of high school. Like, and he's from Michigan. And he wanted to go to the West Coast and this and that. And so he went to UCLA. Problem is, he didn't win the job at UCLA, and he didn't like the system at UCLA. He got into it with Chip Kelly, so it kind of derailed his career. He got beat out. He got beat out for the job. So he didn't play at UCLA. So he transferred to Eugene with the Ducks, but then they got Dillon Gabriel. He didn't play again. So Dante Moore is one of these kids. He was a big time recruit, but he hasn't played in a while. And we're hearing good things. I think he's going to be good, but it's very difficult to replace veteran quarterbacks like Dillon Gabriel and Bo Nix. But Dante Moore is inheriting a pretty difficult schedule this year for the Ducks. And these college football win totals are all about the schedule. They don't play Michigan this year. They beat Michigan last year. They don't play Ohio State either. So that's a pretty good start, actually, right, if you're the Ducks. Like, all right, we don't play Michigan. We don't play Ohio State. But there's still enough landmines here in tough spots for a couple of losses. The Ducks, they go to Penn State. They go to Rutgers, and don't dismiss that. Like, I think that's one of those Friday night games, too. Like, the Rutgers could be a tough place to play. Like, the weather could be bad. Rutgers are a physical football team. That's not an automatic win for the Ducks. So they go to Penn State. They go to Rutgers in mid-October. They go to Iowa November the 8th. I don't like, you know, I'm not the biggest weather guy. One of you guys know that. I dismiss a lot of the weather talk and when it comes to handicapping football, but I ain't dismissing November in Iowa. Like, you know what I mean? All right, fine. If you're Iowa State, you can deal with it. But if you're the Oregon Ducks, I don't think they're going to like that very much. November the 8th in Iowa. And the thing is, Iowa are good. And we'll get to Iowa later in the week. But Iowa are going to be a pretty good football team. All right? So, and then get this. So they go to Iowa. Then they to wrap up the year, they host the USC Trojans, who I think will be very good this year. And then they go to Washington. And we all know the Ducks and Washington, massive rivalry. So it's like old school Pac-12 style in the Big Ten. There's a few tricky spots here for this Duck team. Yeah, they're still elite. And as I stated, they go 10-2. We win our bet. To me, the Ducks, listen, Lanning's a great. I think the Ducks are going to be 9-3 personally. I think the Ducks are going to take a little bit of a step back this year. And I don't think 9-3 is a tragedy, but hell, they go 10-2. We still win our bet. Like you know, when you look at this schedule between going to Penn State, going to Rutgers, going to Iowa, and going to Washington and hosting USC, that's five games that are really tough. And I don't, you know, I don't think they're not running the table in all those games. Like the Ducks were undefeated last year in the regular season and all the way through before they got lit up in the playoffs, but that's not happening this year. They could still potentially be a playoff team. I don't think they will. I think Michigan will be the ones. I think Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan will be in the playoffs from the Big Ten. But I'm not dismissing the Ducks. They're right there. But the total, like, you know, once again, I'm not betting. I'm not saying they're not going to win the national. I'm saying that they're not going to be 11-1. And trust me, if they go 10-2, they're going to be in the playoffs. 10-2 in the modern era is a damn good record. 10-2 gets you in the playoffs. Right. That's the goal. Right. Basically, if you're an elite team, that's kind of the thing. It's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter if we win our conference or not. Let's just go 10-2 and we'll be in the playoffs. So give me the Oregon Ducks under 10.5. And let's keep it in the Big Ten, actually, right now, except this one is an overplay. The USC Trojans over under 7.5. Fight on the men of Troy. It's minus 160. Over 7.5 is minus 160 to the over. People have been very critical of Lincoln Riley because, you know, when I was talking earlier about, like, you know, narratives. All right, Lincoln Riley, he's got that narrative, right, that he hasn't won, that he's overpaid. You know, oh, he left. Ha, ha, he's losing. That the defense is terrible. But they're still the USC Trojans, and their offense is still an elite offense, and their defense is getting better. And you can't just go from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten and expect to, like, match up in the trenches. The Big Ten, it, you know, the players are bigger. It's a different, you know, it's a different style of football. And Lincoln Riley has acknowledged this, the USC sort of football people, right? The personnel directors of USC, the football director of player development, et cetera, they understood, like, we're not big enough for the Big Ten. We've got, I saw an interesting interview with them, and they were talking about, like, you know, USC, they were talking about their transition to the Big Ten. And they said, you know, our skill position players are as good as anybody. And, you know, we're comfortable with our offense. And then they talked about, you know, the offensive line. They'd like to, you know, improve a bit, but they talked about, like, the defensive line. And they just said, you know, in the Pac-12, we were pretty good, but we had three or four really good players on our defensive line and on our defense. And he said, you know, in the Big Ten, it's just not good enough. And he said, we just didn't have the depth. He said, you know, we would hang early in these games in the Big Ten, but as the game would go on, we'd get worn out because we didn't have the depth in the trenches that the other teams do. So USC have really put a big emphasis on that over the last couple of years. Get bigger on the defensive line. Get bigger, bigger, bigger. And they have, right? They have money to spend. They've done a good job in a transfer portal. They've done a good job recruiting. I think this is a football team that is a this team is a kind of a little bit of a sleeper, actually. So I was talking about getting bigger. They went SEC style. They brought in Keyshawn Silver, big defensive lineman out of Kentucky, 6'4", 331 pounder. He's going to help stack that line up a bit. The offense isn't going to be a problem. Jacoby Lane and Mekhi Lemon are as good a 1-2 combo as you're going to get as far as wide receivers are concerned in the country. Maeva is back at quarterback, and he'll be even better. This kid, remember, was at UNLV, and he went to USC. It was kind of a little bit of a step up in class for him, and he had his growing pains, but last year you could really see, like, you know, the flashes of brilliance. And now this year I'm expecting just another, you know, Lincoln Riley USC offensive fest here with their offense. I like my Maeva quarterback. I like his experience right now. So their defense is going to be improved. The offense is going to be very good. Now let's get to the schedule. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Penn State. You can argue the two best teams in the Big Ten right now. You know, we could debate about Michigan, but they and Oregon. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Penn State. They don't play Indiana, who are now good. They don't play Wisconsin, who are like, all right, but still, you're not playing the Badgers. They don't play the Washington Huskies, the USC Trojans. They open up the season with Missouri State. They open up the season with Georgia Southern. This is USC's first four games. Missouri State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, and Michigan State. Michigan State are going to be better, but USC should be 4-0 going into their fifth game of the year against Illinois. All right, so basically here at 7.5, guys, we go 4-0 to start the season. We just got to split the remaining eight games of the year. And I think USC are better than splitting their remaining eight games of the year. I think they probably go 5-3 in those games. This feels like a 9-3 football team to me. The USC Trojans, I guess if things blew up defensively, you know, it could be 7-5, 8-4 if things went really, you know, 7-5 if things went bad, 8-4 if they're sort of okay. But USC are another one of these teams that we were talking about earlier that are sort of in that 7.5 win range, like Baylor and Missouri, that USC are kind of a playoff dark horse. Due to their schedule and due to their talent, once again, like, I put it this way. I think USC are going to be in a national conversation this year. I think that Lincoln Riley is going to get his flowers this year, and people are going to be giving him some accolades. And, hey, look, USC, or, you know, and, hey, look at this. But I think they'll fall just short when it's all said and done. A massive game for, like, as far as, like, okay, are USC, or are they going to be 9-3? Are they going to be 8-4? Are they going to be 10-2? There's sort of two games midseason. They host my Michigan Wolverines. Michigan beat them last year in Ann Arbor, but it was a close game. So Michigan go to Los Angeles, like, on October the 11th, and USC go to Nebraska. Like, if USC win both those games, and USC are going to be, you know, they're going to the playoffs and they're winning 10 games type of deal. Like I said, the Michigan one is massive because that one's in Los Angeles. So they have, that's a key game for them as far as their season. Like, those two games are kind of the game circled games, I think, to dictate, like, how far, how good they could actually be. But once again, either way, we're not betting them to win the Big Ten. We're not betting them to win a national championship. I'm betting them that I say they're going to win at least eight games. And I think they will win at least eight games. So USC over 7.5. Minus 160. So to recap, and we will have more college football futures. This will be part one of our college football future extravaganza. And one of the reasons I'm going to suggest too, like, these teams start playing next week. But yeah, next week you're going to want to have your bankroll to bet on the games. And then don't forget, next week we're 1 week away from the start of the National Football League, and you're going to need your bankroll to bet NFL futures as well. So I suggest to, you know, put these college football win total bets in, agree or disagree, tailor fade, whatever you want to do with the information I gave you, and then sort of move on. And then next week we can, you know, just next week we're going to concentrate on a game. So tomorrow we'll do more futures. And then next week we'll concentrate just on all those games because there's a ton of them. And then the following week is the NFL. So it's time right now to pull the trigger on our college football win total best bets, which are the Missouri Tigers over 6.5 wins, minus 165. Baylor Bears over 7.5 wins, minus 105. Ohio State Buckeyes under 10.5 wins, minus 130. Oregon Ducks under 10.5 wins, minus 140. USC Trojans over 7.5 wins, minus 160. We'll break down the week zero games with you on the Friday Freak Show edition of the podcast. We'll have our part two of all of our college football wins coming up. Football is back, baby. Let's do this thing back to school style. Rodney Dangerfield. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.